The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on your health. Let's talk about anything that's been, you know, a problem for you. You've tried, you've applied, you've done all kinds of things that, you know, you think will work. Well, here's an opportunity. Let's see if we can put something better in place, something that actually will make a difference in your health. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. I've been playing hooky. I've been out and about and traveling and going and coming and so forth, and actually been learning a lot over the last couple of weeks. And I want to share a little bit of that with you because I've been impressed. There's several things that have come about that I didn't know before. And I knew a little bit about it, but now I know a whole lot about it. And hopefully I can bring those pieces into the way that we look at different conditions and problems within our practice and the people that we see and are privileged to take care of. So anyway, over the last several weeks, I was at a clinic and for a lot of different reasons, but I was studying and learning about how to affect differently and some of the whys behind that happen of degenerative joint disease, whether it's hip joints or knee joints or shoulder joints and low back and so forth. You know, degenerative arthritis is something that stops people in their tracks, and they end up giving up a lot of who they are, their life, and so forth because of that cascade. So, you know, when you go to the doc and you said, well, we'll watch it until we have to do a replacement, right? They're going to replace your knee, you're going to replace your hip, you're going to replace your shoulder. And then you go into the alternative arena, today's world, right? And you hear all of the conversation about stem cells and exosome and things of that nature. And you say, well, maybe I have a way to, you know, avoid that hip replacement, that knee replacement. And that's true. Many of you have done extremely well with that approach. And at the end of the day, if we wait a little longer, we're going to find a way to actually reform virtually anything that's in your body, from not only a joint space, but your heart and anything else, simply because the technology is out there. We're starting to see changes in genetic mapping by intention, by application, where we can actually go in and change the genome. But what's that got to do with anything that we're talking about? Well, there's a lot of different things that we're not careful to pick apart. And you get a patient that has degenerative disease, have massive, you know, degenerative changes, and you go to your doctor and you say, well, you might have rheumatoid, and they put you on everything from steroids to immune suppressors and the like. And the condition never really gets better. It modifies it, it modulates it in some extent, but it continues to break down. It continues to progressively destroy that joint space. So if the medication was so important and successful in stopping and ameliorating and changing that joint, why didn't it fix it? Or if you went to somebody who injected stem cell, and by the way, we do stem cell injections at our office, and they help repair joint spaces, but not always. And what happens when that not always is part of the picture? And you don't get the results that you want, or you've tried everything. You've gone to really good doctors that know this from a conservative point of view, from my platform, and you've used manual manipulation. You've changed dietary habits. You've had acupuncture. You've done all of these things and you've gotten some help, but it's never resolved the situation. So I've been on this crazy search and I've been looking at things from multiple points of view. And what I discovered was that the degeneration is triggered by something. And we've talked about the body being too acidic. And when there's acid in the body, we have things like cancers and other immunological conditions that begin to show up. But also it affects joint degeneration. Why? Because you get this high level of inflammatory response. Remember when I say inflammation is acid, acid is inflammation? It's like a veil that covers the joint, but the receptors of the joint, the cells of the joint, so nothing can penetrate. And so subsequently, you get the deterioration more rapidly and insidiously. But there's more than that, and this is what I've been finding out. And this journey started probably about 2-3 years ago when I met an interesting biological dentist. And this dentist and I were having a conversation, and he was said, you know, Tom, do you know that Bartonella infection and rotavirus can cause cavitations in the jaw, in the lower jaw, in the mandible, in the upper jaw, in the maxilla? And you can treat them with all the antibiotics that you want to, all the infections that come about because of these cavitations, and they just keep coming back, and people lose their teeth because of it. And they also see breakdown in joint spaces. And I said, you got to be kidding me. Really, what are we talking about? And he says, Bartonella is insidious in how it affects the body and decreases. And many of you know that Bartonella is a co-infection to Lyme. Well, there's another culprit out there that's sometimes equally as bad. There's actually several of them. And another one is a rotavirus. And a rotavirus and Bartonella cause these jaw infections and cause degeneration. And it takes a triggering mechanism to cause them to be activated to a place where they actually go after and hide. And we know that they hide in different parts of the body. And that's why they're so difficult to treat, that they go in and they bury themselves within these areas. And then you've got to provoke them. You have to evoke them to get them out of there. And you have people that, you know, when they have Lyme or Bartonella or any of these, or Ehrlichia, you know, some of the infections of that sort, you know, they have ports inserted and they have IV antibiotics going on, but that never seems to totally resolve the condition because these little culprits, these little bad guys hide and you can't get them to release. Well, I've learned that there's ways of releasing these things and getting it, but we're talking about, again, Bartonella, we're talking about rotavirus, we're talking about Epstein-Barr virus, which is the, you know, the chronic fatigue virus. Really, chronic fatigue virus causes, yes, it does. And so they get into the joints and they begin to destroy the joints. And so the science is there. So, you know, any patient that has joint and muscle pain, it can very directly be related to Bartonella. And the medical community has the documentation going back several years. And it's seen often in people who are handling animals. They're handling pets of some, so way high in the veterinary area. So it's persistent and potentially, you know, a relapsing bacteremia, if you will, something that gets into the bloodstream. And it has a host called you, and it begins to go after that joint space. Well, Bartonella infection is associated with rheumatoid illness in humans. It's a bacterium. You know, historically, it's associated back in the day with something called cat scratch fever, and it's transmitted by fleas. But it's, you know, it may also play a role in human rheumatoid illness. What are we talking about? Arthritis. There's that arthritis thing, right? So there's research that came out of North Carolina State University, and this goes back. This is how long they've known about it. 7 years ago in April, actually longer, right? 7.5 years ago in April of 2012. And that showed very specifically that, you know, these things can take place. But not only do back in the day when they were talking about fleas, but we know now that other little culprits can cause the problem as well. So the neurological symptoms of this type of infection can go across the board. And we're talking about joint space destruction, but we can also talk about memory loss and, you know, not being able to sleep and profound fatigue, and your vision can be lost, and headaches and severe depression. And then we've seen patients with seizures and severe paresis and debilitating migraines that just don't go away. All of this because of these culprits, these bugs, and we're chasing our tail trying to treat them. In our business, in the business of natural manual manipulation and acupuncture and low energy light laser and dietary change, we get profound changes. We get amazing changes where nobody else can get them. But there's that those patients that just don't seem to respond, and there has to be something else. Well, I've learned that this may be the culprit. and that we're talking about these crazy infections that are insidious, that get into the body and don't want to let go, and they just keep gnawing away, causing immunological suppression and the like. So what's the boy supposed to do about all this stuff? Well, we're going to talk about that as the program goes on today, because I am really, you know, interested in the information that I've been able to put together, and hopefully we're going to put it together to be able to help you. You know, we've looked at any kind of joint space deterioration over time from a place of too many heavy metals, toxic metals that have gotten into the body, everything from mercury to aluminum, and we know that is over the top, particularly when it comes to vaccines. Any live or attenuated vaccine, they have to stabilize with either very low level of mercury or aluminum. The problem is the body doesn't like to let go of that stuff. If you, back in the day, if you went to the dentist and you had the old traditional silver fillings put in your mouth, and by the way, if you have them taken out and they're not taken out properly and you're not detoxed properly, that stuff's still there. And it has a tendency to hide in the system as well, just like these little buggers. So we've been aware of that for years. We've known that toxic metal from any source, fish, by the way, could be swordfish and could be tuna, which is two of your highest sources of mercury, or any of your scavengers that eat off the bottom, things like clams and shellfish of any sort and so forth. Those are the scavengers. Those are the cleanup crew at the bottom of the ocean. They have all of these things sitting in them. So the more of that stuff that you eat, the more likely it is that you may have a problem, you know, with this type of infestation. So we have these things hitting us, and what we complain about is pain. We complain of not feeling good. We complain about our muscles aching. We complain about being too stiff. We complain that our joint spaces are degenerating, and, oh, my God, I've got to have surgery. Well, there's a way of turning, one, identifying it and finding out what it truly is, but adding another piece to the puzzle that I think that could be very, very interesting and specific and eliminating. And what I was able to see while I was away was profound applications of some of the things that we're going to talk about when we come back into the second half of the program. It's very interesting. As much as we know and as much as I know, how little I realize I do know. And we try to, you know, put everything together from that old triad, right, that structural, chemical, emotional platform, to see what we can do for our patients, and but also, more importantly, to teach them so they can, in fact, help themselves and continue to move forward. We're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. I'd love to talk to you today. If you have any problems, if you're on any of these immunological suppressors, give me a call. Let's see what we can do. Let me walk you through it a little bit. Let's talk about what's happening and talk about anything you'd like to, whether you have a stubbed toenail. We can do that as well. And this is why we're here. This is why I do what we do. It's important that you have as much information as you possibly can so you can, in fact, help yourself. But, you know, one of the things that I was introduced to while I was away is the effect of Epstein-Barr virus, EBV virus, on joint spaces and rheumatoid conditions and pain patterns. I said, really? Oh my gosh. As we get into the second half of the program, we're going to talk about how this happens. We're going to talk about a little interesting piece of equipment. It's called a TRT sonic wave therapy. That blew my mind. 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Love to talk to you. We'll be right back after some important messages. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. I am in studio. I'm done running around and playing hooky, so I'm back behind the microphone. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. I'd love to talk to you. We're talking about some interesting things that I became privileged of finding out. You know, when you think you're done learning, I think you're done in the world. And what I realize is that the process of learning is one that continues to expand. A fact is only a fact as long as we accept the fact as being true, until another fact comes about and supervenes that. You know, in the medical community, when we're talking about things that are degenerative diseases, degenerative organ systems, rheumatoid conditions, we look at suppression, you know, of different immunological reactions within the body first, and then we see these things create this huge inflammation acid, inflammatory response that says, well, that's what's going on, so now we have to suppress it even more. And how we suppress is by further suppressing immunological activity. Doesn't make a lot of sense when you really think it through. But when you look at, you know, particularly this country, and you look at the rate of disease as it is compared to other parts of the world. Now, let me tell you something. When it comes to emergency medical care, I'm on the street, I'm bleeding, I'm in a real bad place. I don't want me. I want somebody who knows what they're doing relative to be able to put the parts back together, stop the bleeding, and get me stabilized so then I can do the things that I do effectively. And that's where we shine. But when you realize that the United States is number 35 on the wellness quotient worldwide, and we spend twice as much money on health care than anybody else, it tells you that something's wrong, that the system is broken. And we have, because we've stopped critical thinking, as we have across the board in a lot of places, but we've stopped critical thinking when it comes to what our health is. We are a society that has developed prescription writers, and they do it based on symptoms, not necessarily on the triggering process of the things that are going on. So, you know, you see all the television ads of these guys with immunological reactions, the arthritis, you know, some of the great golfers and so forth. And they said, you know, because of Humira, I can still do this. Well, the problem is that ultimately is going to break down to the point where there's going to be other situations that are going to occur. And it never really truly resolves the problem completely. It slows it down. So you're caught in this juggernaut without asking the real question, where did it come from? In our practice, we see a tremendous number of degenerative types of conditions. As we said earlier in the first part of the program, people who have had, you know, been told by their doctors that they have to have a hip replacement or a knee replacement or a joint replacement. They got a bad right knee, and, you know, that bad right knee happens to be an arthritic condition. Well, if it is, why just the right knee? What happened to the left knee? What happened to the left shoulder? What happened to the right shoulder? Why is it just that side? From a structural point of view, we know that the things are in balance, and we know that the body has to stay in a fine-tuned, you know, biomechanical platform. When that fails, then there's stress. But then what causes some of these stress patterns that eventually will cause breakdown and degeneration to move so quickly, or to be resilient, if you will, to being fixed? And they get worse. And they pretty soon you've got all these things going on. As I said earlier, the recap, you know, we've looked at many different pieces of the puzzle, but I discovered one. I discovered actually a couple. There's an infectious process that is a co-infection of Lyme called Bartonella and some of the viruses, Epstein-Barr virus, and which is a chronic fatigue virus, and several others that can cause these joint spaces to wreak havoc, and they hide, and you can't get rid of them in the traditional sense. But there's ways of bringing that about, and we're going to talk about that, and we're going to pick it apart piece by piece by piece by piece. And I said this journey started for me when I dealt with a dentist a couple of years ago, and he was telling me that, you know, Bartonella infections cause these cavitations in the jaw that just don't go away and don't respond to antibiotic therapy. So what we're seeing is this Bartonella, which used to be at one point brought about by cat scratch fever back in the day. But we also know it's genetic pass-through, too, a predisposition. There's interesting articles that are out there. But when we get into the second part of the program, we're going to talk about why they destroy the joint spaces, why they make that little trigger, that fall. They make that little trigger, that bad diet, why they make that little trigger, the stress reactions that we carry in our bodies, so much more formidable, and now cause the body to deteriorate. When you have the ability, and doctors have the ability, if they look at it properly, if they think through the situation and not become monoptic, if you will, in their viewpoint, can change so much of this. The literature is there, and it goes back actually decades, if you will. And, you know, you can do your own research. And like I said, you always should. You should always look at things from both ends of the perspective. But in this particular situation, once it reveals itself, it's there. We'll be right back after some very important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Talking about a very interesting subject today, only because of the fact it's, you know, I found it very interesting, but I think you are finding it interesting as well. And I've been playing around in the highways and the byways and at clinics and, you know, having the opportunity to really look at a couple things that got my attention for me to say, oh, really? No kidding. Why? Why is this going on? You know, we talked a little bit about Bartonella, and it's a cousin of Lyme, basically a co-infection. You have another co-infection called Ehrlichia. You have, you know, other things as well. But people have suffered significantly in joint space pain and degeneration, and they didn't know why it was there to begin with. And I've learned a lot over the last several years, and to the point where we're bringing back an application, not bringing back in as it's been there before, but I'm bringing back something with me that we're going to put into play over this the next several months, a way of identification of where these intractable problems are coming from, why they're attacking joint spaces, why they're problematic and nobody can get rid of them without just numbing the patient up and further suppressing the immunological responses. We know that in Lyme, by the way, that there's a huge chronic neurological presentation, and where the person not only can't walk sometimes, their joint spaces swell and they get painful, but they begin to see degenerative changes over a period of time. And when they treat these patients in this country, they're treating them with huge amounts of antibiotic therapy. In Europe and outside the borders of this country, it's looked at very differently. And you're looking at many different associated conditions along with them. We know that Lyme, and we found out, and I found out, Bartonella and Ehrlichia and EBV and rotavirus and so forth have the same propensity to hide in tissue. And they actually can go into the cellular structure, and they can affect neurological and endocrinological manifestations that most traditional physicians can't identify, simply because they've never really been exposed to that. And there, you know, there's been a lot of people that we know from even past President George W. Bush and people of that ilk that have had these things. You know, our 43rd president was treated for what appeared to be Lyme back in 2006. And, you know, he first noticed in the traditional sense that there was a rash and so forth. But they caught it fast enough. And if you catch it fast enough, you can deal something with it. But then the pain pattern that ensues after that, then you get folks like Ben Stiller. And he had a knee injury that he suffered back in about 2010. And that knee problem became much more significant, and they found that there was a Lyme or an associated condition that had to do with Lyme. You know, Jamie Siegler, another well-known person, and it was a long recovery with lots of antibiotics and so forth. But here's the problem, and even with somebody like Richard Gere, you know, who had all kinds of problems that are going on, it takes a long time to treat these conditions in the traditional sense. And they get what's sitting in the bloodstream, but the stuff that is buried deeply, you know, is hiding. It's hiding in the joints. It's buried into the lymphatic aprons of the body. These are the guys that you have to provoke to get out of there. Let's go to the phones just for a second. William, can I help you, sir?
Yes, I was calling since you were talking about degenerative things and arthritis. I have a degenerative C4 in my neck. So I was just wondering kind of what things you recommend besides going and getting fusion in my back or my neck.
Okay, so it's at what level? Your voice is at a distance. So what part of the neck or is it the upper back? You said T4 or did you say C4? William?
Yeah, hold on. I'm doing hard time here. What part of the neck?
Yeah, what part of the neck?
C4, so it's like in the middle of my
Okay,
neck.
So C4, cervical 4. I'm sorry. Like I said, you were breaking up a little bit. Cervical 4 and cervical 5 in your body carries the greatest amount of weight of the head, and that's your activity point. So there's a lot that can be done. And I've never seen your x-rays, your MRIs. I haven't examined you, right. So I can just give you some general information. Before anybody ever touches you, you don't want to have a fusion. You want to do everything you possibly can. Just straight structural corrective manual manipulation, decompression, different types of therapies. There's a thing we're going to get into called sonic wave therapy as well. Those things can make a difference. Changing the biochemical structure of the body, getting that acidic level within the system and shifting it alkaline. So you have the substrate to the body that can heal. But you have to get the alignment in any of the joint spaces to be neutral. Then you have to decrease the inflammatory response. Then you have to re-educate the muscles that surround and support it. Doing those things can make a huge difference. Now, on top of that, if there's something else in the system that is underneath it and causing it to provoke much more rapidly, that has to be addressed as well. And that's what we're talking about a little bit today. But I would start with, looking at seeing somebody that does the work we do, either in chiropractic applied kinesiological techniques or in acupuncture, utilizing low energy light laser, approaching it multidimensionally. Since it's one area at C4, there's a huge chance that you can reverse this and make it normal. Those are the things that we see on a day-to-day basis. And it's important that you approach it. If we can help you in any way, William, please give us a call. We're more than happy. Just call the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, and one of our doctors will talk to you and take you through a process, even on the phone, and ask you more specific questions. 888-630-9625. But that's something that can be dealt with and can be dealt with quite effectively. But let's get into, looking at these things. When somebody suffers ongoing chronic pain patterns that just don't go away, there's a reason that they don't go away. And we have patients come in, well, I've changed my diet, I'm a vegan, I'm eating really well. And when we look at their dietary patterns, they actually look pretty good. They're not terrible. We change a few things to support the system. But anybody that's not eating well, obviously that's going to cause an inflammatory reaction that is on its own is going to cause damage to the body. But there's something else. What's that something else? Well, we look at, heavy metal problems and accumulation within the system. That's going to cause pain. But there's those other pieces, and that's the thing that we're digging at. That's what has gotten my attention now in recent times, but also over a period of the last few years. And we're talking about infections that get into the body and hide. Specifically, we're talking about Bartonella, we're talking about rotavirus, we're talking about Epstein-Barr, we're talking about Ehrlichia, we're talking about things of those natures, these co-infections to some other conditions like Lyme that lurk in the distance, and you have to provoke them. And if you do traditional testing, by the way, even for Lyme, by the way, it's called the Western blot, it doesn't show all the different fractions of the Lyme presentation. It only shows a few of them. And you have to find out specifically what it is that you're dealing with. Now, I mentioned earlier that, it's treated very differently outside of the borders of this country. And it's treated with something called biophotonics. It also can be called the same thing. It's called Lumistim. There's things that are called TENPAS that can help get rid of these things. And that's ozone and laser at the same time affecting the bloodstream and the joint spaces. There are many different ways of going after this. There's IV drips with silver that can be used. And so you have to look at this thing. What can I do in addition to? Then things like the applications of exosome and stem cell therapies and so forth. Now they have a chance of really regenerating. And because trust me, the technology, the science that's out there right now, within the next few years, if your body has the wellness quotient to be able to be stimulated properly, you're going to see all kinds of things take place and be turned around. Let's go to the phones. John, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hey, how you doing, Doc?
I'm doing well, John. What's going on, buddy?
So I have a pain in my toe that I've been trying to work out for about 4 or 5 years now. Went to my doctor, found out I had plantar fasciitis. Turns out the plantar fasciitis was due to the fact that I was walking funny. So we got the plantar fasciitis fixed up, and I ended up going to a chiropractor who fixed my spine and got me walking correctly, but I still have this toe problem, this pain in my big toe.
Is it, okay, so it is your big toe. Does the toe throb?
I'm sorry, say again, please.
Does the toe throb?
It will, yes.
Okay, has anybody checked you for uric acid levels?
No.
All right, so the prominent reason that most big toes ache is simply because that your liver's not working the way it's supposed to, and your uric acid levels are starting to increase. It's called gout.
Oh, okay, all right. I've heard gout.
Okay, and if you came into my office, the first thing I'm going to do after I check you neurologically on that toe and rule everything else out, I'm going to check you for gout. And reason why the big toe? And I just said that gout is a result of liver dysfunction, and it's increase in something called it's a failure in purine metabolism, causing uric acid crystals to form. Now, why the big toe? Well, in Asian medicine, the acupuncture channel for the liver starts on the big toe. So when the energy is not moving because the liver is congested, guess where the pain is going to be? On the big toe.
Right.
So you have to check those areas. You check the levels. Anything that is 6 or over, even though that 6 is going to be within the normal levels, but it's sneaking up to the high point. Once you get a flare up, it pops up, you get pain, it goes back down. It pops up, you get pain, it goes back down. That'll give you that big toe pain. So you have to detoxify the liver. So things like, if you want to try something on your own, stop drinking any alcohol if you drank at all. Stop, get rid of any kind of shellfish and get rid of the amount of red meat that's in your diet. You want to get rid of certain types of beans and make sure you're drinking tons and tons of water. Get yourself some black oxheart cherry juice and drink a little bit of that, kind of half and half with water, 2-3 times a day, and that will begin to help. Those are home remedies that you can do that can make a difference. But what you're describing to me is a cascade that probably has to do with some of the things that we talked about, and I won't let you confess on the program, but what I'm saying is that take a look, see if that's true for you, and it can be very easily handled. We would approach it with dietary changes. We would approach it with some acupuncture, low-energy light laser, and they're very easily resolved. It's not something that you have to live with. There's a couple homeopathics that are quite effective in many cases. One's called Leadum Polester. You can get that. It's not going to hurt you in any way. The only thing it won't do, or that it may not do, is help you completely. But I would get it fixed. If you're in our area, give us a call. But that's something, John, that you don't have to put up with. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate it. But that sounds like gout to me, John. And you fix the fasciitis, you fix the spinal structure. Those things are better. But you got pain in your big toe. Big toe, that's liver function. That's something that you can deal with. 888-630-9625. We're talking about looking for the, needle in the haystack, and some of the things that you shouldn't have to suffer with, but we all do. But particularly in rheumatoid conditions of any kind, these rheumatic conditions are often a result of other things, and one of these other things are Bartonella and Ehrlichia and things of that nature. But if you look up symptoms that, and they vary in number, by the way, when it comes to Bartonella infections, and we can call it Bartonellosis. You'll see everything in the acute phases, from fever and headaches and tiredness and malaise and so forth. And then, but the most important one are the joint swelling and the degeneration that it can cause. And, do your homework, but that can be part of the culprit. Remember I said there's an interesting piece of equipment that I came about, and it's out of Germany. And it's called the TRT Sonic Wave Therapy System. And that thing has really got my attention. But, the amount of research that's being done with it, from stroke victims and bone healing and, dealing with the spinal nerve roots, regenerating spine, stimulating your own stem cells within the body, dental problems, and even using it for, you know, urological problems and wound repair and so forth. This thing is amazing. I actually had it used on me recently, and it really takes another step. It's a very expensive piece of equipment, and then we're going to have that conversation coming up in the practice and see what we can do to bring this thing in. But, you know, it's amazing, its applications, and it's the testimonials of people that haven't been able to turn things around otherwise and have had this implemented in their treatment protocols. It seems to take the next step, which is mind-boggling, for so many people. But the information's out there, and you need to really begin to do the homework. I'm constantly going back to school. It makes me crazy what I don't know. And it's because in the age of modern science, so much is coming at us so quickly. You know, I'm teaching a program in about 2 months in Florida, 3 months, on genetic stimulation, epigenetic protocols to a group of probably about 120 or 30 doctors. And, you know, as I prepare for a class like that and I start putting different pieces of the puzzle in position and I start seeing how things like what we're talking about, these chronic bacteriological infections, these viral infections, have such an impact on our genetic representation. Do you know the science is there right now and will be very easily attainable, that you can live another 50 to 60 years, you know, 130, 140, 150 is going to be a no-brainer. This is where we're going. But you have to get to the place where your genetic map will allow that to take place. And so we're not susceptible to the cancers and the degenerative problems and the immunological suppressions and things of that nature. We have to learn how to make sure that we are strong enough to stand the slings and arrows of what goes on. But when we see something like this tissue regenerative system, this TRT unit, you know, it gets my attention very quickly because it adds another piece of the puzzle that I can help you with, that we can do the things and just take you one step closer. But you know what the most important piece is? It's educating you. It's giving you the power, the information to change your life because you choose to change it, and making sure that you think through the process and not just accept a diagnosis. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Excuse me, as you do every Saturday at 4 during NFL season. And then in January, we'll be back to our regular time on Sunday at 12 noon. And thank you all for listening and taking the information and applying it to your lives. And we appreciate all of our men and women in service who somehow find us and ask us questions. Thank you for what you do. I really appreciate all that you've done for us. Let's go to the phones. It's an interesting question, and I want to take it. Richard, how can I help you, sir?
Okay, genetic problem, apparently. My niece just had a child 4 or 5 months ago. My radio's off.
Yep, go ahead, I hear you.
So 4 or 5 months ago, and they just found out that the child has fructose intolerance, and they've been feeding her normally, like they normally would, and apparently it's shot her liver. And so now the child has to survive another couple months till the mother can give up a piece of her liver to replace that liver. And there's a very, very small possibility that given the right diet and the right medicine, the liver could possibly regenerate itself.
Well, the liver is an interesting organism in that it will regenerate. You can take away most of it, up to 80% of it, and it will begin to regenerate. But let me ask you a question. We have a four-month-old child. Was the mother nursing slowly? Was the mother solely all by itself, or was the child being fed other foods?
I really don't know at this point. I just found out about this yesterday.
Yeah, that's
given the mother, she was probably doing both.
Yeah, a child, an infant needs nothing other than mother's milk for the first year of life. Period. End of story.
This is definitely a genetic problem.
I understand that. That's not an issue. So with a small child that way, you have to make sure that the mother's diet is clean. But there's a lot of things that can be done. Unfortunately, this may be in the medical arena totally, but dietary intervention is critical at this point, and you're going to have to deal with somebody who is very familiar with this type of situation. But, you know, even somebody who, you know, an adult, fructose and honey and sugars and molasses and, you know, even things like asparagus, peas, zucchini, apples, grapes, watermelon, any of those things have to be avoided completely, 100%. They can't be put into the child's diet at all. And but the liver malfunction, because that's where a lot of blood sugar patterns are initiated, that's the piece that has to be done. The child is too young to do anything, but low energy light laser to a class 4 laser would be useful in helping the child. But the mother, if the mother's is susceptible to it, it's in her genetic map. She has to be extremely careful with what she's eating if she's nursing. But at this point, the child should be nursing only and avoiding virtually all foods completely. But you're going to have to use both the medical approach and the conservative approach. If it was my child or my grandchild, I would be using those things that I just talked to you about. So we're coming up to the end of the program, Richard. I wish I could get more into it. If you'd like to discuss it further, you can actually call our office and talk to our nutrition department. They can give you some guidance and tell you specifically what can be done. I'm sorry there's a couple other people online. I'm not going to be able to get to you. Please forgive me. Wish you had called a little bit earlier. Anyway, we're coming up to that place. I will see you next week, same time, same place. My guest next week will be Dr. Chung. I love you all. Bye.